Hey, it's Dan. Welcome to The Difference. It's your weekly look at the intersection of politics and economics with me, political talk show host extraordinaire, Dan O'Donnell, and Dave Spano, who is the president and CEO of Annex Wealth Management.
But nothing extraordinary about that. Just so
No, you are the
fairway.
I don't want to. Well, you're always so humble. I don't want to say economist extraordinaire, I will give credit where credit is due. I think the rest of the world is finally catching up to some of the stuff that you've been saying on this very podcast, Dave, about inflation, about whether or not we get a soft landing or hard landing or any sort of landing whatsoever. I mean, the stock market, we've seen the S&P 500 up 16 of the last 19 weeks.
Yep.
I mean, that's absolutely incredible. And now we're in an election year where hope sort of springs eternal, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. So 16 of the last 19 weeks, the S&P 500 has been up. That is a tremendous fact. And it really started back in October of 2023 when the Federal Reserve suggested they were done with rate hiking. And so now we saw this pause, and now the third step will be, do they start lowering rates? And the stock market has sniffed that out. But as you pointed out, we are also in a presidential election year, and that has been up every time since 1944. So we expect some positive returns here in 2024 as we work into the election, because both sides think that their guy is going to win. And we saw that last week, Tuesday, with the State of the Union, which was really a political rally, and they really got their guy is pumped up. And now you start to hear the Democrats say that there's a chance that he can win. So we start to look at all these facts and say, what is going to go up? And both sides are doing well right now. Both Biden stocks and Trump stocks are doing well at the moment. And it's not just the Magnificent Seven, or really should be called the Magnificent Six, because they've left Tesla behind. But it is beginning to widen out across all kinds of areas, and that's what we're paying attention to.
I was just kind of laughing to myself. What would be a Biden stock?
Yeah, you have
sure.
Yeah, oh, that's funny. No, you have to look at really what they're looking at, which could be healthcare. You look at, for example, environmental stocks versus, for example, energy stocks and financial stocks. I mean, that's really what we're looking at. And we do have a basket that we've put together, and we watch very closely. When do they do well under Democrat regimes and under Republican regimes?
What would be a Trump stock? Any materials for a border wall? I got it. Self-tanner.
Oh, you're funny. No, it would really be, for example, energy would be one. Military-related stocks would be another. Financial stocks would be a third. So those are really three areas that we're beginning to watch. And on the other side, solar stocks would be an example. But, you know, you look at, for example, you talk about energy and EVs for the moment. Tesla has been left behind because the EVs really haven't participated. And now you start to see companies like Apple actually just leave the market altogether.
Yeah.
The EV stocks are something we're paying attention to. But of the Magnificent Seven, Tesla is in negative territory.
What impact do you think Elon Musk and his, shall we say, colorful account on X, which he bought, just irritating the holy heck out of a big portion of his consumer base, i.e. California liberals, what do you think that impact has had on Tesla's sales?
Well, I think that's part of it for sure. You know, does Elon Musk, with his Trumpy attitude, does it mean that he's a Trump supporter? And he's never really come out and said that, right? So it certainly is his Trump demeanor has certainly riled the California elites. There's no doubt about that. But you look at, for example, why is Tesla not doing well? And I think it's more related to EVs and competition to EVs than it is the things that he says on X.
Nah, that makes a lot of sense. Now, we are still seeing this rapid rise in the stock market, maybe sans Tesla, against the backdrop of inflationary concerns. Long-term inflation expectations at the three-year range rose 0.3% to 2.7%. Five-year outlook jumped even more, up 0.4% to 2.9%. Now, this is significant because, of course, as I think everyone knows, the Federal Reserve has set a 2% goal for the year-over-year inflation rate, but that doesn't seem to be something that's realistic in the long term. What impact does that have on the rate cuts that I think have been buoying the market, the expectation that we're going to see a massive rate cut?
Yep.
And we're saying, okay, March, all right, now June, okay. Well, what happens if inflation just continues to sit at that 3% range?
I think you really are onto something, because generally inflation comes in waves. And we got that initial wave where we, you know, 9%, 10% in inflation began to come back down. There's two pieces that we're going to look at very closely. One of right now is wage inflation. Wages continue to be up despite the fact the unemployment rate has moved from 3.4 to 3.9%. That actually is good for the Fed story, because they do want to cut rates. And as that unemployment rate continues to go up, the Federal Reserve will pay attention to that. But you pointed out something that is really important. Inflation comes in waves, and we could get a secondary wave in 2025 when the Fed is lowering rates. And it's going to be the same thing that I argued about a couple of years ago, when the Fed was buying mortgage-backed securities despite the real estate market being red hot. And so now they might be lowering interest rates when you get a secondary wave of inflation, and they're going to be in a conundrum. And that is something that is really going to be tough for whoever the next president is. And I will tell you, talking about presidents and who that is very difficult to do. But I was watching Bill Maher this last week, and this is what I heard them say about President Trump. He's a sociopath. He's a psychopath. He's malignant. He's a narcissist. He's a total monster. He's a dictator. He's dangerous. He's a schoolyard bully. He has syphilis, and he has to be stopped. This is what they said about the guy. So
other than that, he's a really cool dude,
yeah, right.
I think is what they said. He has syphilis?
That's what it's unbelievable, right? We've seen just a devaluation of the argument about policies, just the ad hominem attacks on both sides. So it really is, we really have to try to hit it down the middle and talk about what policies are there, what are the economic indicators that we're looking at, and really just tune out all of this noise.
Well, I don't actually play it right down the middle, and I think pretty much
we do. That's your job.
I know you do, and that's what you do. You have to. I mean, your job is you have to invest dispassionately.
Right.
And what I always talk about in political analysis is you have to, you know, yes, obviously I have my opinions, but they are guided not by my emotions, what I think is what should be, or what I think I hope America is or could be, but rather what I can prove. What facts, what logical arguments that flow from those facts can I make to convince as many people as possible that this is what America is, this is what America should be? And the last thing that I would, on my show at least, ever resort to is saying Biden has syphilis. I say it appears clear to me, based on the available evidence, i.e. what we've seen over the past few years, compared to who Biden was as recently as about 2017, 2018, that there appears to be some pretty severe cognitive decline there, as well as physical decline, which I think is obvious to anybody who's seen the man walk over the past couple of months. But the just increasingly unhinged reaction to Trump, it's a Pavlovian emotional response. You say the word Trump, and the tongues start wagging, and you hear discussions. And I know a lot of that on Mar was Robert De Niro, who might be the single biggest sufferer of Trump derangement syndrome in the entire country. But yeah, Keith Olbermann, producer Dave Michaels just chimed in. Keith Olbermann is probably every bit as bad. But when you have that sort of emotional response, it is something that leads to bad decisions.
Yep.
And that's why it's so important that what you do, and what I think you counsel your investors to do, is to not invest, to not, you know, if your guy doesn't win, immediately pull out all of your money and retreat down to the bunker, right?
Yep.
You know, it's like, don't start buying gold bullion and, you know, stocking up on survival kits,
yeah, but gold in,
things go on.
Yeah, but gold and Bitcoin is rallying here. But, you know, we've said for years, and I've been doing this now for, I think this is my 10th election, never invest your politics. And what I mean by that is, just in recent memory, I can tell you, when Obama was elected, everyone said, I'd sell everything, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Obviously, that didn't happen. Same story I heard on the other side from our liberal friends is when Trump got elected, sell everything, he's going to blow up the world. And thirdly, again, with Biden. And I hate to tell you, but the market and the economy continues to chug along because it's not about the one guy sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Yes, he has an impact. And yes, he has executive order that he can put in place. But right now, the economy is moving forward. And I hate to tell you this, but there's $8.8 trillion on the sidelines right now that is probably going to find its way back in into more productive investments, because the reason why it's sitting there is interest rates are high. And so people can get paid for sitting in a money market at 5%. That money is likely to come back in, and that is going to push equity prices higher over time.
One of the most notable recent examples of the idea that you can't invest your politics.
Yeah.
Look at election night of 2016. Do you remember that?
Of course,
Dave.
Yeah.
The futures market just plummeted because there was so much uncertainty as to what a Trump presidency would entail. There was so much fear, and let's face it, a lot of the big money institutional investors are Democrats, and they were sort of succumbing to all of the fears, and Trump was at the time the sum of all fears. It was a total shock. Hillary Clinton was a 99% lock to win the presidency that day, and then she didn't.
Yep.
But what happened? All of a sudden, the markets realized, hey,
we were wrong.
a Republican president and a Republican Congress is probably going to mean tax cuts. It's probably going to mean deregulation. It's probably going to mean a more favorable business climate. And guess what? That's what we saw. It was sort of off to the races right up until COVID-19, almost exactly 4 years ago today, when the markets started crashing. And then again, you saw Biden. I mean, we had a recession. Was it actually a recession? They changed the definition of what a recession is when we were most definitely in one right before the 2022 midterms. But really, ever since that big dip, we have seen stock market record after stock market record.
It is exactly right. And one of those things that you have to look at is what is driving that. And for example, right now, you could look at any one of these companies and the expectation that they're going to have growth. So you think about the major Magnificent Seven, and what are they providing? Well, it was an AI revolution that was a big part of that. It was the Fed's move that they're going to cut rates is another part of that, and the fact that inflation is coming back down, and that we didn't have a recession. I mean, everybody in the world was talking about that we were going to have a recession in 2023. As you recall, I was on the other side of the table saying, when I see negative GDP is when I'll start to say, because you need two back-to-back quarters of negative GDP. When we get the first one, then we'll start to be on recession watch. We never got the first one. And so right now we're looking at all of the data because the Fed's policy has a lagging effect, and that lagging effect might come due in 2025. We do these election year investment myths. We've got two of them coming up. If folks locally want to participate, go to annexwealth.com/events, and you can participate in these election year investment myths.
Yeah, because there are a lot of myths that arise, and this is the time at which I think, Dave, you'd agree with me, emotion sort of takes over more than any other time when it comes to investing, right?
No doubt about it.
Because we're all, I think, more so than ever before, creatures of politics. Politics has invaded every aspect of our lives, it seems, in what I call the Trump era, June of 2015 until now, when one man has just sort of, I mean, Trump is the sun around which everything else sort of rotates, whether you like it or not.
But the media continues to do this. You know, they want to complain about him, but you can't put on any one of these shows without Trump coming out of their mouth in the first 10 seconds.
Oh, it is absolutely unreal. Actually, how much Trump is a part of the news cycle, even before he announced that he was running for re-election. But this is why, to help you get emotion out of the equation, to make sure you are best positioned, no matter what happens in the market, no matter what happens with interest rates, no matter what happens with the election, you need to go to annexwealth.com. You need to get that wealth metric. It's a review of your portfolio. Know what you own. Know why you own it at annexwealth.com. For Dave Spano, President and CEO of Annex, I'm Dan O'Donnell. Thanks so much for listening to The Difference.
Annex Wealth Management is a registered investment advisor. For more information about our firm, please visit annexwealth.com. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and is subject to change without notice. Opinions expressed are those of the participants and don't necessarily reflect those of Annex Wealth Management, its producers, hosts, or guests. The host of this podcast is compensated for his endorsement of Annex Wealth Management. Information presented should not be considered as tax, legal, or investment advice, or recommendation or solicitation for the sale of any product or strategy. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from qualified professionals to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. Investments involve risks. Neither Annex Wealth Management nor its podcast participants shall be liable for losses resulting from decisions based on information or viewpoints presented on this podcast.